So keeping things flowing, we will start off the policy committee today. We have one apology from Councillor Doug Brown. I'll move that we accept that. Somebody second that. Councillor Scott, all in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. Can confirm the agenda. No conflicts of interest that I'm aware of. Anybody like to declare one? No. No public forum. Would somebody care to confirm the minutes as circulated? Councillor Kempton, seconded Councillor Bell. All in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. We have no actions pending. And two matters for discussion today. First one being Wild and Conifer's second director's report. So on to Wild and Conifer paper, which, as you'll remember, we had a little amendment previously at the beginning of last year. And my understanding, and Mr McLean can correct me, is that we now need to just amend the boundary again slightly, given the work program that's going on. So it's just a technical minor tweak, really. But Mr McLean.
Yeah, thank you, through the Chair. The central government announced another management unit late last year for Otago and the funding for it. So it wasn't part of the original tranche of work, but it is now. So Biosecurity Act provides for councils to be able to make minor amendments to their regional pest management plans, provided they don't impinge on people's property rights. Now, the Wild and Conifer program is entirely voluntary. So if someone feels that they don't want to take part, then they don't have to, so therefore it's deemed to not be impinging on people's property rights. So by resolution, we can make a minor plan change. If it wasn't voluntary and it did impinge on people's property rights, we would need to undertake a full plan change, which is what we're in the process of doing anyway. Yeah. So this allows the central government funding to be used lawfully in Otago.
Thanks for that. That clarifies it a lot. So the recommendation is there. Does anybody care to discuss this paper before someone puts the recommendation? Councillor Woodhead.
Happy to move the recommendation, Madam Chair, but I just got a question from Mr McLean. Is this 1 year's work, couple of years' work? We're future-proofing this block as much as we know at the moment from the Crown, essentially.
Yeah, correct, through the Chair. This is... funding is for 1 year.
For 1 year, right. Thank you.
Seconded.
Thank you. Over in a second, so no further discussion. All in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. On to the next report, which is the director's report here, which is full and no doubt you have read already. I know that Ms Winter here would like to elaborate on some of the work that has been going on and even since the preparation of this report. So over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Like Councillor Deeco, I too have dreams. Most of them are about policy and strategy and exciting things like that. So I'd like to just update you on some of the work that my team have been doing in the area of minimum flow plan changes. So I'd like to focus on that. So the Clutha minimum flow plan change, we have extended the consultation on stage one out to the 19th of February, and that was partly at the request of the community making contact with us. The Cadrona minimum flow plan change, a site visit was held last week with key stakeholders, including DOT, Fish and Game, Okaha. We also had a couple of people from Burl are there who are doing our economic impact assessment. So they were out there to be on the ground and ground truth what's going on, and we had a meeting with the Cadrona attachment group at the same time. In terms of the Manahera Kia plan change, I've put Lisa Kane, one of our senior policy analysts, as the lead project team leader in that plan change. We've mentioned the technical caucus, experts caucus, that was held last week. So that was held on a Thursday with attendance by hydrologists, technical people from water user groups, DOT, Fish and Game, iwi, ORC and consultants. It was facilitated by an external facilitator, and the purpose of the workshop was to work towards a common view on the information we have available to consider the effects of minimum flows in the Manaherikia catchment on irrigation reliability. So the aim is to inform the economic and social assessments that will be conducted as part of the plan change. And where we got to there was general agreement at the workshop that the data and work that ORC has done to date on naturalising the flows and analysing water take data was appropriate, but further work would be needed on to build a water surety model. So Dr Palmer may wish to add to that. His staff were involved in that. My staff were deliberately left outside of that that caucus because it was restricted and confined to technical experts. At the same time, the policy team are progressing the following bits of the plan change. While that technical work is being refined, we're working with Ms Sutton's team to update the engagement strategy, including a focus on engaging with you. So we are going to be holding a workshop in late February to update you on the Manaherikia plan change so that you're all on the same playing field in terms of the information we've got, where we're heading, the timeframes that we're looking at, the catchment itself and its complexity, etc. So really looking forward to that. We also want to engage with Central Otago District Council. And so after we've had a workshop with you, we'd really like your feedback on engaging with them along the same lines. Mm-hmm. We're, as I mentioned, obtaining a stage one report from BURL, our economic impact assessment consultants, and that is based on the technical experts workshop. We're also working with the recently released MFE mapping and Aqualink to ensure that the identified areas are robust, ground truthed where possible and appropriate for use in our economic assessment. And we've got ongoing work with our science team. So a few of us went on a tour of the Omakau irrigation scheme, and that was Dr Palmer, Ms Sutton, Ms Kane and councillors Bell and Noon, and we basically walked from, well not walked from, we were transported from Falls Dam all the way through to campground, so it gave us a really good understanding of that particular part of that catchment. So that's Manaherikia. The residual flows plan change 3.13. We've had a meeting with consents team today to socialise the options that we're looking at there, and we are having a council workshop. We'll be having a council workshop in April on that plan change. The Arrow plan change 3.14. Staff gave a presentation on both the Arrow and the Clutha plan changes to a group of consultants, lawyers, NZTI members in Queenstown last week. Councillor Lawton might recall that she raised that at the Clutha consultation meetings or was in a discussion with someone there. These professionals are often asked questions or advising clients on the plan changes, so we feel it's a really good use of our time to brief them on where we're at. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for those updates. Focusing mainly on our water plan change work. Obviously there's some other topics in there. If anyone wants to discuss them, feel free as well. Councillor Woodhead.
Under 3.2, winter preparation review of the regional plan water, and there's a paragraph in the next page under the bullet points. Work as proposed annual plan for those matters that are important but not urgent will continue, but they will be notified as part of the review of the water plan in mid-2021 rather than in individual plan changes. This will include stormwater and wastewater. So is that the urban water quality stormwater where...
Aligning with the coastal plan, if you'll remember. I think we discussed that not long ago.
Yeah, we did. Right. And I just saw 2021 and I thought of the work that we're doing with the strategy flowing on with the districts and the city. The 21.
Reminding ourselves that, yeah, a lot of the urban discharges are to the coast, so it makes sense to align it with the timing we've got in the LTP for coastal plan change as well, make it more efficient. But, yeah, I sort of thought, oh, wow, we're up to 2021.
Well, I'm thinking of district and city long-term plans, and, oh, that's all right, let's push it out. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done, so we're still working on it, but that actual plan change will be then.
Absolutely. Through you, Madam Chair. What I'd like to do around this package of plan changes is have the Manager of Policy, Ms Meredith, come back and present to you what these individual plan changes that we're now packaging up are. So that you get a sense of how they all link and the time frames for each of them. I know that we have had discussions with iwi and they are on board, one party obviously, but they're on board with the time frames.
Mm-hmm.
We have been out to the TAs, right, the only one that we haven't seen is Dunedin City Council, and I've just been emailing a staff member to set that up now. So we would have talked to all of them, but I agree, I think elected members need a full picture of how these all live together. In the interest of efficiency and effectiveness, we're trying to bring them all together rather than have them done piecemeal.
I was thinking more of our messaging.
Time, yes, around time.
External with our stakeholders, and don't take your eye off it, Mr. TLA.
Yeah, good thinking. Well, I'm thinking again about a one-page visual document that's more that's great for us internally and as politicians, but also for our communities as well, seeing where we're going. Great, thinking along the same lines. Really like as well what's been touched on by Ms. Winter, which is at the very start of processes, ironing out with key stakeholders and community what data have we got? Is it the data that we need, and is it of a high enough quality for us? And if we get that at the start, it makes so much more sense than arguing about it in Environment Court towards the tail end. So really encourage what you've said there. And thank you, Dr. Palmer, as well. Councillor Hope.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to say, Ms. Winter, congratulations on Lisa, is it? You were saying in the Mahinakira.
Yes.
I think she's the right person. She's very, very switched on. And I'm delighted that you've bumped her up to take on that role. Well done.
Very good. Right. Okay, any other further comments?
Madam Chair, just still on the issue that Councillor Woodhead raised about keeping TOAs abreast of the time frame for those plan changes, discharge, etc. And I'm just thinking, we would normally submit to the annual plan, long-term plan process. Why don't we just remind them that this is on the go, we're still a few years away from the crunch time, but we're on track, we're on schedule, blah blah blah. I'm just wondering whether, why not just go through that public process as well, just another layer of communication. Just a thought.
Possible. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair. The idea that came out of the workshops on the Urban Water Quality Strategy was to put together a couple of groups, a technical staff group
from across
the TAs, as well as maybe a governance group or using the existing mayoral forum or that sort of thing. So we haven't forgotten about that, and we've talked about that with the councils as we've gone out to them, and they are on board with that because it means they're kept in the loop. Yeah, we've asked them to name the person that is their contact person, and that's who we're communicating with. So. Yeah, totally agree, and I think we can cover that in the briefing as well.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done to have it be ready for a plan change 2021, isn't there?
Yes.
It's a big one, so thank you. Okay, Ms Gardner, you didn't have anything you wanted to say?
No, thank you, I'm good.
Sure. Okay, well, I think we've all had a chance for a say, so recommendation that the report is noted. Somebody cares to move that. Councillor Hope seconded. Councillor Scott, all in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. And that is it from policy. Thank you very much, everyone.